Well, hey there. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. I'm your host, Green Diva Meg, and I have a chorus of beautiful little spring birds. There's a lot of nests right around our house. They love our house, and they like yell at us when we go on our back deck because they have a lot of nests in the eaves in the back. Anyway, they're joining us today. I don't know if you can hear them. They're very happy, very active. Anyway, this is an interesting upcycled show. You know, it's not entirely recycled. I don't know exactly, but we're recycling one feature fun segment. Really fun one with Marielle Hemingway and Bobby Williams. But the rest of the show is new, so, you know, it's upcycled, man. Did you know it was Women's Health Week? I didn't, but I found out today talking to Mika Hollander for our Eco Sexy segment. You'll find out more about that in a minute. But I just wanted to say about women's health that I really hope in this time of political turmoil that women really look into the candidates and their policies on women and women's health in particular. I think that's going to be a huge issue. And I don't know that Hillary is the answer just because she's a woman, although she may have a tendency to be smarter about some of these issues because she's a woman. But, and I'm not saying anything, I just want you to educate yourselves and make sure that if you're a woman, if you're a Green Diva, you might not be, but maybe you just love a Green Diva. I don't know. Pay attention to these issues because they are going to be important. Okay, so lecture over. This week on thegreendivas.com, there's a couple of stories. Of course, I did a Mother's Day thing on six ways to honor your mother, Mama Earth, and of course yourself. You know, not everybody's a mother, and some people's mothers are gone, so it can be a difficult day. I know this is after the fact, but these things are still relevant, so check it out. Humor a Green Diva. There's also a really cool post by Green Dude Dave Room, who's the producer and co-creator of Pacha's Pajamas, which is a really cool interactive children's story series. Anyway, he did a post for us, Beyond the Hero's Journey, Awakening Stories That Can Change the World. It's a thoughtful piece. I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, I am hoping to connect with more of you on social media, at Green Diva Meg on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. And of course, The Green Divas on Twitter, Instagram, and The Green Divas Radio Show on Facebook. I'm hoping that more of you will check out YouTube because I'm doing this series of 1 minute and some 30 second videos that are fun, instructional, short, kind of packed with a lot of interesting DIY stuff, mostly foodie, some other stuff. Anyway, check us out on YouTube, Green Divas. Now, as I said, we're replaying this fun interview with Marielle Hemingway and Bobby Williams. That is really fun. They're talking about their relationship and a lot of interesting things, so I'm hoping you'll stay tuned for that. Very inspiring. Green Dude, or Green Devo, as he likes to call himself, Mike Novak, has had a little bit of a health journey. Thankfully, he's well and he's back on track, and we're really glad to hear him. Green Diva's Green Thumb with the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardeners about kids in the garden. And an eco-sexy segment, Green Diva's Eco-Sexy with Mika Hollander with her new Get On Top Pledge campaign. And it's about women's health and women taking the pledge to have safe sex. You know, it seems appropriate. So there's a lot of great stuff packed into this show, as always. Enjoy the show and have a great green week.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. It's no surprise that climate change will affect wildlife in the future, but a new study shows birds are already feeling the heat. In the U.S., they're moving north to cooler breeding grounds, and changing weather patterns are forcing them to move in other directions too, especially west. Brooke Bateman of the University of Wisconsin analyzed the breeding habits of nearly 300 species using data gathered by citizen scientists over the last 60 years.
These birds have adapted over thousands of years to breed in specific conditions, and if the climate conditions have moved 60, 100 miles away and it's become not suitable where they normally go, that's going to be a problem.
That's because the plants and insects birds depend on may not move as quickly as the birds themselves. So how can we help? Bateman's study shows that many of the regions that are increasingly suitable for birds are also full of urban development. So she says strategic land planning can connect different protected areas as stepping stones for our feathered friends. And anyone can contribute as a citizen scientist by sharing observations from their own backyards. As we learn more, we can help birds adapt to climate change. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Well, it has been way too long since we've had a chance to catch up with our favorite Green Divo, spelled D-I-V-O.
No, spelled D-E-V-O.
He's so stubborn, Mike
Novak.
Are
we not green? Are we not Divo?
I know, right? Okay, so Mike Novak, we are so glad to catch up with you. You've had...
Yeah, and why has it been so long, huh?
Well, part of it has been your being stuck in a hospital.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part. Yeah.
There was that.
You know, I got to ask you that question. Like, in the 21st century, who spends 9 days in a hospital?
Well, really, you got to be concerned if you're there for more than a couple days.
I know. And I had a lot of friends. You know, I was posting, well, actually, not me, but Kathleen was posting on Facebook and doing updates. Well, Michael just had his surgery. Well, he's in ICU. And, you know, people writing on Facebook saying, get out of the hospital, get out, because they're just going to make you sicker. You're going to catch something. And people are really afraid of all these hospital-borne diseases that are out there. They say, get out of there. That's just a crazy place to be.
Isn't that sad?
That's not good. That can't be, good for society, can it?
No, but aren't we blessed that you have survived your ordeal?
I'm out. Yes, I am about 15 pounds lighter. I know, and lost a little bit of muscle mass, so I got to get back on the bicycle and get some of that back.
You are not a heavy guy to begin with.
No, but and I haven't weighed this little in 20 years. It's just amazing. Weird.
Well,
just weird.
Now, meanwhile, you took a lot of hiatus from your show for a brief period, and you're back on airwaves. Yay!
Yeah, I'm streaming live on Sunday mornings, Eastern Time. That's 10 a.m. to noon, Central Time 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on an outfit called Q4 Radio. And if you want to stream it, you need to go to www.QUE4.org, Q4.org, and you can hear the Mike Novak Show every Sunday morning streaming live. And of course, I still do the podcast of those shows, which you can find at MikeNovak.net, MikeNowak.net. So it's fun. You and I talked about this off air here, but there's something really different about doing live.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah.
It just, podcasts are fine. You get out good information and you have the opportunity to fix stuff. You know, you go back in post-production.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it live and it's without a net, there's just an energy involved that's really fun.
I did my show live for several years, about 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It was a lot of fun. But, you know.
Yeah, well, I've been doing this, I'm like 17 out of the last 18 years, live radio. And then I did last year, it was all off of my dining room table doing podcasts. You know, I would interview people like you're interviewing me now, but it's just not the same as streaming it live and knowing that there are folks out there wherever in the universe listening to it as you do it live.
Yep. Yes, that is true. Yeah, we did actually stream from here a couple of years ago. I have to get back to that.
That's right. We did that little experiment. That was pretty
No, but before that, we did actually stream through a radio network. It was very complicated and annoying, which is why I ended up giving it up. But when
you
it
know
worked,
what I have to have you on my show.
Yeah.
Now that I'm live, I'm going to drag you on and make you do an appearance as Green Diva.
Oh, that
extraordinaire.
That would be my pleasure. That'll be fun.
Okay, well, let's set something up soon. Now, the other connection you and I have is something called the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.
Yeah, Holly and Joey Baird.
They're great. Aren't and, of course, they're just north of me in Wisconsin. And they came to me at the beginning of this year out of the blue, and they said, hey, you know, you do – they found this video. I did this talk last, I want to say, August or something, downtown Chicago. There was a rally in Daly Plaza. They asked me to speak. It was an environmental rally, and I did like 3 or 4 minutes, and Holly and Joey got a hold of the video because it was me rambling on about 3 minutes, how to save the planet in 3 minutes.
Nice.
And they got a hold of this video and they said, hey, how about if you come on our show and do environmental reports all this season? And I said, sure, why not? Let's do it. So that's what I've been doing at the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener. And their website is thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
Yeah, all spelled out, man.
Yeah, all spelled out, and you can go and listen to their podcast. They also do lots of videos of how, you know, they grow stuff, vegetables, basically. And they show you how to do it on their videos, but you can also listen to them on their podcast. So, you know, what I like about them is that they're like you. They're like you, and they're like me. They're very ambitious. They want to get the word out, and they're just doing it. They said, okay, let's get this done.
We do, they have a two-minute gardening segment that we pick up most weeks. That'll probably be in this week's show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so I'm happy to be part of their empire. And you and I had talked about maybe I should take some of those reports and pop them onto your podcast.
Yeah,
which
you've always got an interesting perspective. and I think our audience would love to. But I like talking to you, too, so we're going to mix it up.
Well, I'm a cranky guy, okay, and I get crankier and crankier as the world turns. And things that make me cranky are, for instance, something I saw this morning, okay, and I saw it in Chicago, but there's an article in the New York Times about a cartoonist who was fired.
Oh yeah.
From, did you see this?
Well, I saw you posted it.
Oh, okay. A guy named Rick Friday. He's a self-taught cartoonist, and he's been publishing cartoons in a publication called Farm News since 1995, okay?
Yeah.
And the one that got him into trouble, it shows two farmers in overalls with their baseball caps. They're standing by a fence. One says to the other, I wish there was more profit in farming. And the other guy says, there is. In the year 2015, the CEOs of Monsanto, DuPont, Pioneer, and John Deere combined to make more money than 2,129 Iowa farmers.
Ooh.
So the cartoon gets published last Friday. The next day he gets an email from the editor, said that would be his last for Farm News because, quote, a seed company had withdrawn its advertising in protest.
Oh,
gosh, kind of wonder who that is, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Bullies. And that's what I wrote. What you saw on my Facebook page is like, wow, you know, those bullies at Monsanto. And, you know, and I assume it's not John Deere because they're not a seed company.
Right.
So it's either Monsanto or DuPont Pioneer.
Yep.
And as I said, bullies apparently are not fans of the First Amendment to our Constitution.
Right.
So I'm going to have this guy on my radio show. And apparently the good news is this thing is going to go viral.
Yeah.
If it hasn't already, because people are going to his Facebook page. I've gotten a bunch of shares on this story already, and it's just, come on, it's a cartoon. It's an editorial cartoon.
And the way you posted it, you said something like, cartoonist gets fired from a farming magazine for supporting, farmers.
Right. And actually, I didn't even say that. I was just quoting what somebody else said.
Okay.
For supporting farmers.
In the farm magazine.
From a farm magazine.
Come on, people. Come on.
Come on, people.
Come on, people.
Yeah. So, it's, continuing along the line of farm stuff and how we need to be careful about who's pulling strings and who's trying to control what we eat and what we plant. I had a person on my show recently talking about seed swapping.
Yeah.
And seed swapping is a cool thing. There are libraries throughout the country where you can come in and you leave seeds and you take seeds, and that's a cool thing. Now, here's the problem. In a number of states, including, and this the big deal was in Pennsylvania, a place called Mechanicsburg. Do you happen to know where that is?
Well, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. There was a public library where they were having a seed swapping library, and it was in danger of shutting down because Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture had said that, you can't swap seeds because you've got to be careful about the labeling and testing and, and you're in violation of state law. Well, those state laws were set up for commercial seed distributors.
Right.
Not for people who are swapping seeds in libraries. Well, they fixed the law in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
But we're dealing with this in all 50 states. So you can go to a website called LegalizeSeeds.org to sign a petition to the directors of all 50 U.S. state departments of agriculture to get them to have more reasonable seed laws, to exempt seed libraries from the seed. And, it's important to have seed laws because you need quality of seeds. You can't have weed seeds mixed in there.
Right.
There are reasons why commercial seed purveyors need to adhere to those laws.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
But when you got people swapping seeds in a library, that's a different story altogether. So, it's not one size fits all. We need to be smarter than that.
We do, and thank God you're there to help us get more educated.
That's my job.
That's my job. Well, Green Devo, Mike, it's so fun to talk to you again, and I'm sorry that we have to quit. I think we do need to do a fun show together at least, once in a while somehow.
Sure, because I got a list here that I barely scratched the surface on.
So we'll have you back soon, and in the meantime, you can go to mikenovak.net, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Mike, take care, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, Megan. You'll be on my show very soon.
All right.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Wishing you had a green thumb or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert Green Divas and Dude Gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips.
This is Gardening in 2 Minutes.
Kids in the garden are a lot of fun to have. It's fun to have kids in the garden. They are going to learn from that. They are enthusiastic about being in the garden. And sometimes they even eat the dirt.
Whether it's your kids, your relatives, or your neighbor's children, it's always a fun activity to have them and have them learn. Now, if you have children that you know what I'm going to say, don't expect to get a whole lot done if you have the kids in the garden. But it's a great experience and a wonderful event to have them ask questions about what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Right, and also it's good for them to see something come to fruition. So, for example, you can plant radishes, and radishes grow quick. They grow in about 30 days, and you plant the seed, and then before they know it, by the time, you know, whatever, they have radishes right in front of them. Same thing with a lot of root vegetables are pretty amazing to kids because you don't really, I mean, you'll see the tops growing, but you don't know what's going on underneath the soil. It's a little mystery to them. And you can even do fun stuff like take a clear container, plant some seeds near the edge of that clear container and see it grow and sprout. So that's one thing that's kind of fun. Another vegetable that kids like to grow are tomatoes, especially cherry tomatoes, because they can go ahead and just pick those off the vine and eat them. And so that's fun too. And if the kid wants to play with the shovel and the dirt and stuff, let them try it out. Because the more acclimated they are to it, the more likely they're going to help in the future.
If you want to know more about kids in the garden and check out some of the photographs that we have with our nieces and nephews, you can find all that information on our website, as well as our weekly video productions and our free downloadable digital quarterly magazine. All that can be found at
thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
For Gardening in 2 Minutes, I'm Joy Baird.
And I'm Holly Baird.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Diva's Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Being green can be so sexy. Well, at least you can be sexy and keep it green. Check out the Green Divas Eco Sexy Podcast for ways to keep it green in the bedroom or wherever you like to have sex.
Well, I haven't talked to Mika in a while. She's been a very busy woman. And Mika Hollander is the co-founder of Sustain Condoms, and we have spoken to her before about women's health and women's sexual health, but she's got a really cool new campaign called Get on Top, which is kind of fun. So we wanted to talk to her about that. So hi, Mika.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. Yeah, I saw that you were, you know, doing this new campaign, and I saw the video, and it's fun, but it makes some pretty strong points. So tell us what Get on Top is all about.
Get on Top is all about women taking control of their sexual health and pledging to practice safe sex. So I purposely launched this campaign during Women's Health Week because, you know, I think forever women have been thinking about other aspects of their health, like their body, their diet, their mental health. But we usually tend to leave out our sexual health in that equation.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to make a statement that women everywhere need to know and need to acknowledge that their sexual health is a critical component to their overall health.
I didn't know it was Women's Health Week, so thank you. I totally missed that part of the equation. Cool.
Well, there's a week for everything now.
I know. Weeks, months, days, but Women's Health Week sounds like a perfect time to make sure we incorporate our sexual health, whether you're a young woman or a menopausal woman like some people I know, and it's all very important. So what were some of the things that you're doing with this campaign?
So the campaign really came about because, obviously, as you know, I founded Sustain, the first brand of all-natural sexual wellness product companies, about 2 years ago. And throughout my, you know, getting this business up and running and everything that I've done, PR and speaking and stuff like that in relation to Sustain, I've just been, you know, there have been instances where I've been slut-shamed, where I've been pulled from speaking events, because of what I sell. And
right. This
had been something that, you know, I had sort of become a little bit less sensitive to over the years, but I really a couple months ago, it happened again, and it really hit me. I want to do something about this. There's absolutely no reason that a woman should feel uncomfortable or stigmatized for being sexual. And I have built such an awesome, strong community of other female founders throughout my journey with Sustain who totally believe in what I'm doing and you know, are empowered to take control of their sexual health. Like I am. And so I just had this idea, let's bring all these women together, let's get them talking, and let's hope to really spark a national conversation around these issues.
Well, yeah, and there's, to me, there's nothing more important than being than a woman, and I have three daughters, so I have tried to teach them to be okay with themselves, their sexuality, and being able to speak up, ask questions, ask for what they want, whatever it is that helps them to be healthier. So they have to be educated, and it's okay to have a conversation about this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as you, some people might know, I started Sustain with my dad, actually. And part of our mission is really to create a model where we sort of exemplify that parents and children should have open and ongoing conversations around sex and sexual health and how critical that is. But yeah, women, if women don't feel comfortable about talking about these issues, they tend to put their sexual health at risk.
Right.
So whether you're talking to your partner, whether you're talking to your parents, whether you're talking to your friends, doctor, whoever, it's just so important that we start to have these conversations. And for me, that was really why I wanted to start this campaign, to start a conversation, but also to get people to really say, I pledge to practice safe sex, and share that and feel good about it. We feel good when we go and take our vitamins. Why don't we feel good about committing to protect our bodies and ourselves when we're having sex?
Yeah, safe sex is something that, you know, you don't hear as much about. I don't know why it's kind of dwindled below the radar. I guess there's so much other crap going on. But so tell me, how much grief have you encountered from people who might be, I don't know, old school, whatever, and like freaked out that you and your father did this company together? Have you encountered that very much?
I mean, I encounter grief every day. I posted this, you know, earlier today. I was on Fox News in the morning, which was amazing that they had me on. And I posted the video on Facebook, and within 10 minutes, the video was banned from Facebook.
Right.
I already had collected nasty comments from people about a young woman and a condom company. So it's something ongoing. My dad always used to say and still says that I'm really brave. I definitely don't think of myself as a brave person, but I guess what I'm doing is sort of brave. And I think that, you know, my mission in life is to be at the forefront of this movement so that other women don't have to go through what I'm going through moving forward.
Right. You're shattering stereotypes and old beliefs and kind of, you know, really important that we move past these outmoded beliefs that you can't talk about this, that this is not something, you know, because I think it's in the shadows of these things where people do get hurt. And so if we bring it all out to light, it's a much healthier process for everybody. And nobody needs to be living in shame or, you know, get hurt or sick because they were afraid to ask, you know, what does that mean?
Right.
All right. So what can people do to participate?
So I encourage everyone, men and women, but particularly women, to go to letsgetontop.com and take the pledge to practice safe sex. For every pledge, I'm donating a condom to a young woman in need in partnership with Bedsider and the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll say it again. Letsgetontop.com?
Letsgetontop.com.
All right. And the hashtag, I think, out there is Get On Top, correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, I thank you for this work. And it must be sometimes very challenging to you know, because you're like constantly at battle with with the old guard, but, you know, there's lots of people like me.
And the new guard. I'm in battle right now with Mark Zuckerberg because he will not let my content be promoted on Facebook.
Oh, come on, so, Mark.
Come on, Mark. I'm about to go write him a letter. Everyone, all of us are at fault at times for sort of shying away from sexual content, whether it's talking about safe sex or other. And so I'm trying to change that.
Well, we're behind you, sister. And Mark Zuckerberg, I'm writing you a letter too, dude.
Thank you so much.
All right, Mika, keep up the good work and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much.
Turned on yet? Well, go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. To learn more about this Green Divas eco-sexy podcast and find other low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
Kids, this is a fun one. Listen up. I have had the wonderful opportunity, privilege, honor, and always fun meeting with and interviewing Mariel Hemingway, the beautiful actress, author, spokesperson, motivator. I don't know what, you know, she's an inspiring woman. And I've also had the opportunity to talk with, interview, and meet with her handsome counterpart, Bobby Williams, who is also inspiring. He described himself perfectly before, and of course it's evaporated because I didn't write it down, but it had to do with tall, dark, handsome, and I forget the eyes, but, well.
Tall, dark, and handsome with those no-nonsense eyes. It was a humble expression.
We were all having fun beforehand. But the two of them they've written a book together. They've participated, and that was Running with Nature, which, by the way, I've been tagging lately, you guys. I don't know if you even pay attention anymore, but I've been running in the woods, and I take pictures and I tag you guys.
Oh, I totally see it. It's awesome. Yeah, we love that. We love that. Yeah, we're really going to we really feel like, you know, nature and that whole running with nature, which really just means being in tune with it, is part of having, you know, healthy relationships, having a healthy life.
Ooh, there's a segue. She's got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because what we decided we wanted to talk about in this first show of the year was about relationships. And a lot of us, because you guys have been working together in the public eye with the Running from Crazy, the film, and then your book together, you've exposed a lot of your growth and journey together as a couple. And I think you have a lot to share with us. So tell us what you're thinking.
Well, we both, we're huge advocates of relationship with self first. Right.
Yep.
And there's an independent relationship, and then there's something called an independent, and then there's interdependence. You know, you shouldn't come to a relationship to be one. You should still keep your sort of independence while you're in that relationship. And that's what makes the relationship unique, and it makes it work. You know, so Mariel and I both do things that make us happy. You know, we communicate really well. We keep it adventurous, playful, and fun. But we have our own sort of independence in our interdependent relationship. That makes sense.
It does make sense, and I think it's exactly the way that it when it goes right. That is part of what the formula seems to work, right?
Well, and I think that part of that, you know, when things go right, you know, relationship is always something that you have to focus on. It doesn't just happen. And the reason why it doesn't just unfold and happen easily is because we've been programmed by our childhood to have all kinds of weird, you know, codependency, and my mother didn't, you know, believe that you should be a submissive woman, whatever the story is in your head. So you kind of have to overcome those. So that's why relationship, you know, that's why people talk about this day and age of, like, working on their relationship. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. So you have to get rid of the old patterns and the old voices in your head in order to find that sort of balance, like, And like Bobby was saying, if we take care of ourselves first, it's that old thing, then you get to meet in relationship as whole, happy human beings going on a journey together, not like, oh, you're my crutch and I need you for this. So it's really pretty exciting.
Well, here's something I want to put out there. Oh, hello.
Sorry.
We're talking relationships here.
Mario's old school ringer. You got to have one of those.
I got to have that. I turned that off just now.
So here's something that's floating through my head, and that is this concept that you meet your soulmate, whatever that is. I don't want to get into a debate because there's a lot of people, whatever. But, you know, that you meet that intense relationship, soulmate type relationship, and everything just, you live happily ever after, which in my experience has been pretty much the opposite. When I met the love of my life, Wayne, it was like there was so much work to be done. And it was fun and it was worth it. And, you know, it's been an interesting journey. And we got married, you know, 15 years after we got together. But I wonder what your experience is with that kind of thing. Like
when you're in the middle of an argument, you got to stay in the room and don't run away from the conflict.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We know nothing about that. That never happens.
Well, and that's the beauty of relationship, because relationships, especially like intimate relationships, there's male energy, there's female energy. Even if you're dealing with a same-sex relationship, there's always a male energy and a female energy,
right.
And it's about that balance, and it makes you different, and you're supposed to be different.
Right. Well, I know. Remember watching the film, and that's when I got to meet Bobby. I think that's the only time I met Bobby, at the opening of Running from Crazy. Is that the name of the film? Do I have that right?
Yeah, Running from Crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was my journey of kind of trying to understand my family.
Yeah.
But
there were scenes in there with the two of you. There was one scene that got a little intense where you really showed the reality. Like, it's not all, you know, Marielle and Bobby playing on the beach, right?
That's because she's running with crazy.
That's right.
Running from crazy.
I forgot about that. Bobby, you suddenly got distant there.
Don't say anything.
You're on mute.
Don't mute yourself, Bobby.
So, what were you saying? How appropriate that you're on mute.
What I was saying is that she runs with crazy now.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, she. Yeah.
Right. And also, what I was saying is I did not break the car in that scene. If you remember, the car broke down, and everybody thought it was because I grabbed the emergency brake. It was the boulder that Mariel ran over previously.
Oh, it's always my fault, but that's okay.
I can take
responsibility, no problem.
Well, that was a date, and we never stopped dating. That was a date. That was a rock climbing date, wasn't it, Mariel?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were not on a rock climbing date. That is the beautiful thing about our relationship. It is so real. We have, you know, intense moments. We fight. We're like real people, but we try to really look at what's happening. And one of the things that we like to do, and one of the things we like to help other people with, is like when you're in the middle of that intent, you know, you're in the middle of a fight and you're disagreeing and you're reacting, you're really intensely reacting. One of the questions we like to ask ourselves is, you know, first of all, what am I doing right now? And actually, who am I being right now? Because that's such a big question. It's like, oh, who in my past am I actually mimicking? Because what you'll realize probably 80 to 90% of the time, it's not you.
Or it's not current.
It's a voice in your head.
Yeah.
So that's a really good thing to ask yourself. And it keeps you in check with your relationship.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I ask is like, who am I really mad at here? Like, what is this really about? Because 9 times out of 10, it's not about the car breaking or whatever. It's about some past situation or fear that got triggered or whatever, you know,
that's the whole idea of, you know, relationship with yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, we often get in arguments or we have problems in our relationships. I know that when I dated before, you know, when you break up with a girl and the girl breaks up with a guy, they blame you and you blame them, and then you try to get reinforcements from your friends saying, they did this or that or this, and they do the same thing. Meanwhile, it has everything to do with you and very little to do with them.
Right.
It's how you're handling it and how you respond or react. And the reaction usually is the part that, you know, gets you into trouble, because you're saying things out of a reaction based on your past of what happened to you in your childhood or what your relationship was like with your parents or what happened in school and so many things. And if you just take the time to take time to yourself, your relationship becomes far more powerful.
So there's a lot of value, and this is just one aspect of it, of knowing thyself in a way that, you know, you're not.
Absolutely. And we talk about that actually in our book, Running with Nature, is that's the key question. It's like, you know, really what comes first is who we are. Can I just go back? You dated before me.
sixth grade.
Life before Marielle.
Me too, minus my 24-year marriage, whatever.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I couldn't go down that road. I went to a reunion and I saw some of my friends in a couple of divorces deep. I was like, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
You didn't do the work. You ended up in trouble for not doing the work.
Well, I don't know if it was Harville Hendrix or whatever, that one of those, you know, big marriage relationship gurus from, you know, 20 years ago that said the first 7 years of a relationship is all about working out your own crap with your parents. And I thought, oh, God, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, but if you have these previous relationships with sixth grade girlfriends, you get to work all that stuff out before you get into the best relationship, which is the one I have with Marielle now.
Oh, jeez.
That's so nice. And I feel the same.
It took me
24 years in a really complicated, I won't say bad relationship, because, you know, we learn from everything, but in a complicated relationship where I felt I belittled myself. There were so many patterns I couldn't. I couldn't get myself out of. It was such. In fact, we were looking over the book, and I was just laughing at how, you know, I had to really like eat humble pie when I met Bobby, because there were so many things that he would just remind me of, that it's not about me being kind of the mom that I thought that I was for all those years. For 24 years, I was such a mom, so I had this whole routine and. I really didn't listen. I mean, one of the biggest things about relationship is learning how to listen. Ooh. In all relationships. Yeah. It doesn't have to be romantic relationships. But listening is such a key to really, like, just taking things in and really learning about yourself. Because listening is one of the greatest things we can learn to do in a lifetime. And it's not easy to do. We tend to, you know, multitask, be on our computer, do different things, look around the room, people are talking to us, we're thinking about really what we'd like to say because we're, you know.
Yeah, we're busy.
You know, because we're, whatever.
Formulating our response, right.
Yeah, and the truth is, it's all about, like, actually sitting back and going, just taking it in. And even when you want to react, just, like, making yourself take a breath, and you'll find that icky feeling that sometimes happens when you're listening to someone and you really want to defend yourself, it just kind of, it melts if you take breaths.
I think the truth is you got to enjoy a steady diet of good sex. That's the truth.
Well,
that's not a bad thing. And by the way, in Sweden, they discovered that that's one of the keys to having a longer, healthier, happier life.
Okay.
And, of course, remember to laugh. And I mean, there's so many of them, right? You know, what to do in a relationship. Mariel and I laugh all the time, pretty much we laugh all day. The only time we don't laugh is when we have to be serious for a second, and then we go back to being silly and laughing again.
Well, you know, so it's true. Like, on social media, there's a lot of, you know, ways. A lot of people have a certain face they show to social media. And you guys, of course, have these beautiful pictures. These, you know, you're on a mountain. You're running through a beach and woods. And you always look like you're having so much fun. Which is actually why I like that scene in the movie, because I'm like, okay, you're human. All right, thank you. But you really do have that much fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast. We're both into the outdoors. We're outdoor enthusiasts. I've been a bit of an adrenaline junkie. Mariel actually is too. I don't think she knew it as much as she thought she was, because she goes climbing with me, and we do all these things together.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of balance each other out. The whole yin and yang thing there is completely available as well. And Mariel helps me with so many things, and I help her with so many things. You know, we It's pretty great, I got to tell you.
But getting back to that thing that we're human, we are totally human, and we do. we have arguments or disagreements or uncomfortable moments, but yeah, we're really good about looking at them,
right,
and then moving on really quickly.
Right.
We deal with it. We get all messy, and then we're, like, pretty much done. I can't even remember things that we fight about, even, you know.
Yeah. Even when I'm wrong, I'm right. That's how the argument goes. It's a typical male trait, right?
Yeah,
you know,
figure
a way out to be right no matter what. Even if you're wrong, you're like, yeah, uh-huh, and I'm totally right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though I'm wrong.
And I just sit there and go, yeah.
Uh-huh. Isn't that funny? So what do you guys, what would you say each of you is the biggest challenge that you have in this relationship?
Mariel's a girl. I don't know if you've noticed.
It's true. Our biggest arguments are about, like,
Bobby's, male, female.
It's,
be logical. It was just like the fight in that car that you saw.
Act like a man for once, he says, in the car, right?
Yeah, and I say for 1 minute, think like a man.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
she was being emotional, and I'm like, no, this is a logical situation. There's no emotion involved. We just need to take care of this one thing. Yeah, but this, but that, but that. So we have like a 90% great relationship, and we have 10% that we work on, and those are really, really good numbers, by the way.
I've
never had one like that.
Phenomenal numbers.
Yeah, and so men like numbers. So for the guys that are listening, you know, 90-10 is fantastic. 80-20 is still really good.
Yeah.
70-30, you start getting into a gray area. Anything below that, you're absolutely out of your mind. If you have like a 60-40, 50-50 relationship where you're fighting half the time, you better work on yourself.
Yeah.
You better go see somebody to work on yourself.
But I
think, you know what?
That's the
weirdest
key.
Thing is, I think a lot of us, because my parents fought all the time.
Yeah,
and
I think
that's
it's
what
normal.
You're used
yeah,
to. So
yeah,
again, it's that patterning. So you go into a relationship, we're like, oh no, we're great. You know, we fight all the time, you know, but what? I don't know. We don't fight all the time. Then you realize it's like 50-50. Like, what?
Yeah.
I had a therapist once ask me that question. That's where the numbers came from 20 years ago. He said to me, well, what percentage of the relationship are you happy? What percentage are you having, you know, your problem or you're fighting? I said 50-50. He goes, that's crazy. And then he asked me about my parents being married. I said, yeah, they're still married. They're great. He asked me my last relationship and the one before and the one before, and they all ended 50-50 because you don't want to fight half the time, so you move on.
Right.
So then he says to me, I want the realistic answer, not the idealistic answer. What percentage of the time do your parents fight? And I was completely silent for about 5 seconds looking at him. I'm like, I'm not my parents. He goes, no, that's exactly who you are. Unconsciously,
yeah,
you get in all relationships to have a fight. It might take a couple of years, but that's what you do.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like, no. And then the work began. You know?
Yeah.
And that's how you figure it out.
Yeah, and nothing freaks a guy out more than a woman being, you know, a woman. Like, you know, when we go into our girl moments and there's a little estrogen flying around, you know, guys are like, oh.
That's Bobby's big thing. He's like, once a month, you need to find girls to talk about this with. Because, you know, in his mind, it's like we're talking about the same thing all the time. And in our mind, we need to. It's part of, it's like therapy.
I think
they do not want to hear it.
Didn't we fix that problem? We addressed that and fixed that problem last month.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
How do we not move on from that?
No, because, you know, and I think that saved my marriage and my relationship. We've only been married 4 years now, but feel like forever sometimes, but that saved us is that I learned that there were certain things I really needed to hash out with girls or my other people because, you know, the poor guy can only take so much.
It's true, but you realize that you don't, and that's the thing that I think as human beings on this planet, just trying to do your best and be good people, we don't have to be in relationship, you don't have to be everything for the other person.
Right.
You can be so much more, you know, for yourself. And then you can meet in the things that you really get along and do well with. And then the things that you don't need to be sharing, it's fine. You're not obligated to, like, unload all your crap on one person. I think I think that's a misnomer of relationships.
Yeah.
And I think it's why they end quickly, especially this day and age, you know, day and age of openness. And it's not about lying. It's about there's just certain
it's
things
freedom.
You don't need to share.
It's freedom of choice. You know, a healthy relationship is both partners understand that they both need freedom and space from each other to see other people or do their own thing, right? So Mariel and I have several relationships. She has a relationship with herself. I have one with myself. And then sometimes Mariel has a relationship with other people, and it's her life, but I go into that relationship. She sometimes comes into my life with my friends, and that's a relationship. And then we created one together where we have mutual friends, and so we're doing something different all the time, but it's all on the same page.
Well, I just want to make very clear that your audience doesn't think that we have, like, an open relationship, that we're having a relationship people, because we are not.
No, I am way
too old school for that.
No. It's from holding hands to sharing, you know, our secret looks and our silly voices and, you know, and being physically intimate, you know, and emotionally intimate, all that's with one person.
No, but I could see what Bobby was talking about was all these different types of relationships that you all interact with, whether it's friends and family and how they intersect. I saw all these, like, circles with intersections. It was like a diagram in my head. You know, and there you are in a lot of those intersections, the two of you, but not all fully in other whatever.
Engaged in all the other relationships, exactly.
Well, I am so excited that you guys are talking about this beyond the book that you're doing, you've done together, and I know you're doing more fun things together. And one of the things you guys have started doing is working with City Brand Media, right? And you're going to be
City Brand Media, we do a once a week blog. It just started literally last week for the new year.
How exciting.
And it's very exciting because they're, you know, it's going to be pretty much every city in the country eventually. I think it's how many cities now?
It's almost 150 cities now. And they continue to grow, and we found it to be a really great platform to be able to share our ideas and our ideals and what we believe, and it's not a marketing scheme, right? It's just us giving information of how we live our life and what we do, and we say, hey, we recommend these things. We're doing this week, but we find something better 2 months from now and say, hey, this works.
Right.
You know, try this. It's all just giving out, you know, free information and for you to try.
We love our life and we love living our life so much that and so many people in our lives sort of say, why don't you know, what do you do here? What do you do there?
Right.
You know, where do you eat? What about farmers markets? Just so many various random things kind of that cross the board on living life and we just wanted to share it.
I have friends on Facebook that I haven't talked to in 30 years that Facebook me and ask me for information on health, nutrition, diet, exercise, all kinds of, you know, outdoor stuff, you know, food. And Mariela and I answer their questions. She gets the same thing all day long, you know. And so we're like, well, now we say go to this blog. But I mean, I helped a police officer the other day. She's a friend of mine that lived down the block when we were kids. And, you know, she wants to lose weight for her daughter's wedding, and she's talking to me about what she's eating. And Mariel gave her a whole bunch of advice on her female perspective. I gave her male perspective, our combination. We spent, like, you know, 20 minutes, a half hour with her on the phone. And so many of the things that we told her, like, gifts to her. She's like, oh, I never knew that. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. And she was so happy. You know, and we want to do that with everybody.
Yeah,
why shouldn't everybody know how to eat, take care of themselves, and have a great relationship with themselves and then with significant others and their family and everything else? You know, you don't want to leave this place, you know, being angry. You want to express and expand as many things as you can to as many people as you can. It's all about connection, you know.
And
my thing in life is being relentlessly adventurous. You know, I love to climb and surf and write and make food and just go. I love traveling, you know. And so Mariel's the person that brings out, you know, the best in me and not the stress in me, right? You know, so we look to be around people that are more like that.
Well, I it's a beautiful philosophy. And I was just thinking, gee, I guess I would also categorize your relationship from what you've shared here and what I know of you as adventurous and you know, it takes courage to really be who you are with somebody else, and it looks like the two of you really have that going on.
Yeah, it is. It does take courage, but once you kind of cross that line of kind of gulp, should I do it? It's the most rewarding thing in the world. There were so many things that I was when Bobby would do. I mean, just being silly, for instance, it would embarrass me so much. I would think to myself, I'm so embarrassed, and you know, and silly voices and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can't stop me now. I'm like ridiculous, but
oh, we dance, we dance, ridiculous dances.
Oh my God!
We play this one game at night before we go to sleep. You turn the lights out. It's completely dark in the room, and you turn the light back on, and you're in some bizarre.
Yeah.
You have some bizarre face on, and you're standing in some bizarre way, contorted.
I love it.
Or you have a hat on, or whatever's available. You don't know what you're going to do next, but it's going to be something ridiculous. And you got the objective is to get the other person to laugh. And of course, you both can't stop laughing.
Aww.
You know.
Well, I mean, that's a better way than turn off the light at night.
Exactly. It's great. And I think that we don't give ourselves permission to be childlike. And I think that we have to.
We're all
children. That's the key to all good relationships in every aspect of our lives, is just be a little bit more open, like a child would be.
Yeah, at one point did somebody say you are an adult? Now, taking on more responsibility and being responsible with your life and for other people and for your children, for your family, all that stuff is great, but that doesn't mean that you stop being yourself, and you are a child for your entire life.
Well, whoever...
Everybody is.
Whoever,
or you put on this mask where you say, I work in a corporation, I must be like this, I have to speak this way. See, you know, we recently started another business that we're going to be launching next year that I'll talk about another time with you.
Okay,
when it launches, and I'm talking to investment bankers and some really big people. And they're very serious.
Yeah,
and I'm the only one that's not serious.
Well,
on the phone.
Whoever it was that said, you have to grow up and do this, we're going to tie them to a chair and tickle them. How about that?
That works. There you go.
See?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, there's a million ways people can find and follow and learn more about you and Bobby, including your book, Running with Nature. But I want to direct people to citybrandmedia.com, and will it be obvious how to find you there?
Well, you can also direct them to runningwithnature.com or even my official fan page, that kind of thing.
Got it.
Because it'll be all posted up there.
Very, very cool. Thank you, guys. It's really fun to have both of you. And stay on the line after we close up, because I want to say one thing off the air. All right, folks. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.